Tonight, explosive new eruption. Hawaii's Kilauea volcano blows its top, shooting a plume of ash 30,000 feet into the sky.
You can't compare it to anything I've seen.
Tonight, the danger far from over. Deadly highway horror. A school bus of fifth graders colliding with a dump truck. The front sheared off. At least two fatalities.
A lot of people were screaming, and they were like hanging from their seatbelts.
The latest on the victims. Is the summit on or off? President Trump warns North Korea's Kim Jong-un to cut a deal or face total decimation, but offers protection if he surrenders his nukes. The TSA's new watch list revealed why the agency is keeping it and how you could end up on it. Life-saving flights, more and more taking to the air, but more patients hit with sky-high medical bills insurance won't cover. And here comes the bride. Meghan Markle and Prince Harry arrive at Windsor Castle for wedding rehearsal. But there's sad news for Meghan with just 36 hours to go.
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for being here. A thunderous pre-dawn explosion announced a powerful eruption from inside the crater of Hawaii's Mount Kilauea volcano today, spewing a tower of choking ash and debris almost 6 miles high. The eruption, the latest turn in this natural drama that has already sent fiery rivers of molten lava flowing through residential neighborhoods, destroying dozens of homes. Our national correspondent Miguel Almaguer is there watching it all unfold.
Whoa!
After warning signs Kilauea would blow, today it happened. The eruption spitting rocks into the air, shooting a massive plume of smoke and ash 30,000 feet.
We may have additional larger events, more powerful events, kind of like what we saw earlier this morning.
Today's eruptions come after 2 weeks of volcanic activity, earthquakes, fissures, and toxic gases have turned this tropical paradise into hell for some.
You can't compare it to anything I've seen.
Wow.
Mark Claussen lives among the lobbing lava bombs.
What's it like to see that?
Kind of getting used to it, but frankly, it was a little unnerving.
Today's eruption raising new health concerns over sulfur dioxide venting into the air. Locals also bracing for ashfall.
It's so thick and you can't breathe. You can't breathe.
With geologists warning of more explosions, geysers of fire threaten homes around the clock.
Even at a safe distance from the fissures, you can feel the ground shake and hear what sounds like a jet engine overhead. Lava has been shooting out of the ground for 2 weeks here.
Kilauea's fire and fury met today by a blast of smoke and ash. With a warning, more may be on the way.
At Kilauea's crater, geologists say today's blast may have been the first and last, or it may be the start of a series. They simply don't know. Meantime, Lester, I want to give you a live picture from our second camera just behind me. It's in a local neighborhood here where those massive fissures continue to spout hot lava and toxic gases into the air. That explosion at the crater may be over, but neighborhoods here today are still under siege. Lester?
Miguel, and we're hearing some of those explosions behind you. Absolutely unnerving. Thank you for that report. Let's turn now to the horrifying crash today involving a school bus packed with middle school students on a field trip. At least two people were killed, a student and a teacher, when the bus collided with a dump truck on a New Jersey highway. We get the latest from NBC's Kristen Dahlgren.
The images are haunting. A crash so severe the bus separated from its wheels, tossing students.
A lot of people were screaming, and they were like hanging from their seatbelts.
11-year-old Theo was on the bus, filled with his fifth grade classmates from Paramus, New Jersey, excited about a field trip.
We were going to a place called Waterloo Village, and one of the trucks behind us got hit as we toppled over the middle part on the highway.
The bus collided with a dump truck.
Mass casualty incident.
A teacher and a student killed, 43 injured, some critically.
A few people got out of the windows and they got out of the emergency exit on the top.
And it was a rough scene to see. I mean, you know, when I arrived on scene, there's, you know, children laying all over the place.
As the students and chaperones were rushed to the hospital, parents started getting calls.
It's pretty chaotic because people are scrambling to get their kids.
Eastbrook Middle School dismissed early. For many parents, reunions bringing relief.
As soon as I saw her, I just grabbed her because you don't know. You just don't know.
Tonight, an investigation is underway. But for some families, there is only heartache. Kristen Dahlgren, NBC News, Paramus, New Jersey.
President Trump appeared to alternate between reassuring and threatening Kim Jong-un during a back and forth with reporters today. The president raising the specter of U.S. military force against North Korea, while at the same time holding out hope that the planned summit with Kim can still be held next month in Singapore. NBC's Peter Alexander on the president's latest comments.
North Korea. Downplaying doubts North Korea will scrap the summit, President Trump tonight trying to keep that sit-down with Kim Jong-un on track.
Our people are literally dealing with them right now in terms of making arrangements for the meeting.
The president, far from fire and fury, instead offering North Korea's dictator public assurances that giving up nuclear weapons doesn't mean giving up power.
He'd be there. He'd be in his country. He'd be running his country. His country would be very rich.
So why Kim's cold feet? Mr. Trump suggesting China could be influencing the North. The president doing his own diplomacy, promising Kim Jong-un protections, and contradicting recent comments by his national security advisor, John Bolton, that the North blasted as sinister.
We have very much in mind the Libya model from 2003-2004.
The Libyan model isn't a model that we have at all when we're thinking of North Korea.
That Libyan model, referring to the removal of the country's nuclear program in exchange for sanctions relief. But the president seemed to confuse that with a U.S.-backed air campaign years later during the Libyan civil war that led to Muammar Gaddafi's death. Still, despite all the assurances, Mr. Trump suggested military action in North Korea remains on the table.
If you look at that model with Gaddafi, that was a total decimation. We went in there to beat him. Now, that model would take place if we don't make a deal. Most likely. But if we make a deal, I think Kim Jong-un is going to be very, very happy.
All I can hope for is that the president is attempting to reassure Kim that he will not end up like Gaddafi. But the facts are Gaddafi ended up dead in a drain pipe.
Also tonight, the Mexican government is calling out President Trump for describing some undocumented immigrants as animals Wednesday. Mexico telling the State Department that is unacceptable. The president insists today that he was talking about MS-13 gang members and says he would call them animals again. Lester?
Peter Alexander at the White House tonight. Thank you. The CIA has a new chief. Gina Haspel was confirmed by the Senate today, the first woman to become the agency's director, despite concerns among Democrats and some Republicans about her role in the CIA's enhanced interrogation program, which critics have denounced as torture. During her hearing, Haspel vowed not to revive those tactics. With summer travel season around the corner, a new revelation today about the TSA. It turns out the agency is keeping its own watch list of passengers who are known to cause trouble or get physical at airport checkpoints. The list was started in February over concerns about the number of screeners being physically assaulted. NBC's Tom Costello has the story.
The TSA's new watch list is called the 95 list. Separate from the terror watch list, it's the TSA's own list of passengers who become physical with a TSA officer in the past, including spitting, punching, swatting at, assaulting, or injuring an officer. Though so far, out of 2.5 million passengers each day, only a handful are on the list.
There are less than 50 people on this list, and the intent was we were seeing an alarming increase in the number of assaults against our officers.
The TSA insists it will press charges any time an officer is assaulted. In 2016, 26 officers were assaulted. Last year, 34. The TSA says a verbal exchange with an officer will not get a passenger on the 95 list. The process, meant to give airport TSA staff a heads up that a passenger with a history could be coming, though still cleared to fly and not subject to extra screening. Civil rights advocates warn passengers aren't notified if they're added to the list and therefore can't petition to get off.
The TSA can also target people who are quote-unquote publicly notorious. And that's a very broad definition. We don't know who falls into that category of people.
Still, the TSA says the 95 list is all about protecting both passengers and screening officers. Tom Costello, NBC News, Washington.
There are just about 36 hours left until the wedding event of the year. Prince Harry and Meghan Markle holding rehearsals today ahead of Saturday's highly anticipated nuptials. But an announcement from the bride today is putting to rest the conflicting reports about whether her father will attend. NBC's Kelly Kobiea has more.
Tonight, the bride and groom are in Windsor. Prince Harry and Meghan Markle arriving at the castle, the bride looking serene. The days of drama surrounding her father, Thomas Markle, now settled. In a statement, Meghan said, "Sadly, my father will not be attending our wedding. I've always cared for my father and hope he can be given the space he needs to focus on his health." Thomas Markle, recovering from heart surgery, pulling out of the wedding after a media firestorm over staged photos. So now, a wedding planned with military precision, including parade practice today, with one key detail still up in the air. Who will walk Meghan down the aisle? Her mother, Doria Ragland, will be her only family attending the wedding.
I think if she doesn't walk down with Doria, it'll be with a member of the royal family, possibly Prince Charles, possibly even Prince William as best man.
Meanwhile, Harry will be feeling another absence.
It is days like today when I really miss having her around and miss being able to share the happy news.
The couple placing memories of Diana all around them, her favorite white roses in the chapel decorations, Diana's brother and two sisters there among the guests, and two of her diamonds in Meghan's engagement ring.
The little diamonds either side are from my mother's jewelry collection to make sure that she's with us on this crazy journey together.
The palace tells us Meghan's mother met William, Kate, and their children ahead of a wedding rehearsal here at the castle today, and she'll meet the Queen for the first time tomorrow. Lester?
All right, Kelly, thank you. Now to the high-flying medical lifesaver that is grounding Americans with massive medical bills. Every year, nearly 400,000 Americans are flown to a hospital in an air ambulance for a medical emergency, especially as more rural hospitals close. But the cost of those medical airlifts is skyrocketing, in some cases adding financial trauma on top of physical trauma. Here's NBC's Ann Thompson.
When every second counts, helicopter ambulances provide life-saving services. But some patients say the cost leaves deep financial wounds.
I see doctors weekly, biweekly, monthly.
4 years ago, a head-on collision mangled her SUV and Jody Lopresto. Paramedics called an air ambulance to fly her 49 miles to this Oklahoma City hospital.
If a regular ambulance had got me there, I wouldn't have probably made it at all.
Grateful to survive, but shocked at the price. The bill, more than $38,000. Jody's insurance paid only about $6,000 because the ambulance was out of network, sticking Jody with a balance bill of more than $32,000.
Did you have $32,000?
I had nothing. I didn't even have $100 sitting anywhere. I wasn't working. I was looking at never walking again in my whole life.
She refused to pay.
Air Methods.
Instead, joining a class action lawsuit against the transport company Air Methods, which operates about a third of air ambulances nationwide.
The air ambulance is picked by someone else, called by someone else. There's no negotiation or even a disclosure of their prices in advance, and they send you a bill for whatever they want.
The company has argued federal law protects its pricing decisions and that it's pursuing insurance companies more than patients to pay the bill. Air Methods declined our request for an interview. So what does this service really cost? The industry association says the median cost to the company for an air ambulance is $10,200. But the price patients are charged is much higher. A recent government report says those prices doubled to $30,000 in just 4 years. And Air Methods prices rose 283% over 10 years. The industry says they lose money on many flights.
If insurance won't pay for an emergency medical transport deemed medically necessary by a medical professional at the scene, then what else is insurance for?
Some people are going to hear this and think, you're just passing the buck. You're just shifting the blame from the industry to the insurance company.
When 7 out of 10 medical transports that were deemed medically necessary by a professional at the scene of an accident or illness are vastly under-reimbursed, the obvious solution to this problem is to fix that under-reimbursement.
Meanwhile, patients like Jody are caught in the middle.
What would paying $32,000 do to you financially?
It would have destroyed me. That's a house. That's a car. That's my, could be my son's college tuition.
And Lester, it appears Congress is listening. It is considering laws to require air ambulance companies to be more transparent about charges and permit states to regulate the businesses so patients are no longer stuck with those massive bills.
Things you're not thinking about in the middle of emergency.
No, certainly
not.
Just
want to be helped. All right, Ann, thank you very much. Still ahead tonight, the explosion in cases of Lyme disease and a new way for patients to find out if they need to be treated after being bitten by a tick. We'll be right back. Back now with a health alert. As the weather heats up, the number of people getting sick from bug bites has tripled in the last 15 years. That includes ticks carrying Lyme disease, which is notoriously hard to diagnose. But NBC medical correspondent Dr. John Torres tells us about a new way to fight it.
When Karen Blum came home from a hike with a tick on her knee, her worries began.
I was concerned that it could have been Lyme disease or another disease potentially carried by ticks.
The CDC now warning that tick-borne illnesses have nearly doubled since 2004, mainly because the tick that spreads Lyme disease, called the black-legged tick, is spreading.
More people are encountering ticks because ticks are in more places.
But tonight, a new weapon in the battle against Lyme disease. Instead of going to the doctor, Karen took a picture of her tick and sent it to entomologist Thomas Mather, who looks at the type of tick, where you live, and how long the bug has been attached.
What we can do is tell you that this tick has been attached long enough. If it is infected, it could have transmitted something.
And that's the bottom line, is basically to get them to the point where they can make a good decision about what needs to be done after that.
Exactly.
Information that can help their doctors decide whether to start treating with antibiotics. Mather says the best advice, though, is prevention. Use bug spray that contains permethrin and spray shoes to stop ticks from crawling up pant legs. Good advice for Karen Blum, who now knows her tick wasn't the type to transmit Lyme.
So I was relieved.
Learning your risk so you can have peace of mind.
So, John, what's it looking like for this summer in terms of the tick threat?
It's certainly looking like we're going to see that a lot more. We're expecting more ticks in more areas this year, which, of course, means more bites. Daily tick checks on you, your children, and especially your pets. Don't forget them is going to be important.
Dr. John Torres, thank you, sir.
You bet.
When we come back, the new warning tonight about certain swimming pools and how they could make you very sick. Here's a sign of the times. Fewer American women are having babies. 2017 saw the lowest number of births in the U.S. in decades, with some 3.8 million babies born. Experts point to factors including changing attitudes toward parenthood, especially among millennials, shifting immigration trends, and a rise in birth control use. A new warning tonight from the CDC about a hard-to-kill germ that can get you sick in swimming pools. It's called crypto for short, and it can resist chlorine disinfectant in swimming pools. The parasite causes stomach issues. The CDC says hotel swimming pools and hot tubs can be a major source of the outbreaks. And the U.S. Surgeon General found himself lending a medical hand on a Delta Airlines flight. Dr. Jerome Adams was on a plane in Fort Lauderdale when a passenger became unconscious just before takeoff. Adams and two nurses responded to a call for help. The passenger woke up and was taken to a hospital. When we come back, the remarkable things that have happened since two best friends decided to live life to the fullest. How they're inspiring America. Finally tonight, a lot has happened since we first met two best friends from California who began an unusual journey to celebrate life after one of them was diagnosed with cancer. Turns out their approach is influencing many others. But that's not the only twist in their story. Joe Fryer tonight and how they're inspiring America.
Oh, yeah, big day today. How are you doing?
Chris Betancourt and Dylan Hill have packed years of life into mere months, all part of Chris's bucket list. Flying a plane, getting matching tattoos, meeting celebrities like Danny DeVito.
Three, two, one.
I'm just some dorky dude who has some things I want to do.
This California duo embarked on the list after Chris, who's battling leukemia, was given only a year to live unless he got a bone marrow transplant.
It just made sense that if I wasn't going to see him ever again, let's spend the moments we have doing stuff that
will remember.
They're making videos of their journey, a project called One List, One Life. But now...
Ooh, these are hard.
There's another life. In Ohio, Lexi Everts was motivated to tackle her own list after she was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And Dylan is there to document her journey.
I'm just really grateful for everything that they've done, and I'm really grateful for my perspective being changed.
On this day, she rounded up a group to paint inspirational murals. Her cancer is now in remission, yet she's forging ahead, even meeting a cheetah. As for Chris, his story inspired thousands to sign up for the bone marrow registry.
Has anything changed since we saw you guys last?
Yeah, I found a donor, which is incredible.
Instead of the bucket, Chris now hopes to kick the cancer.
Everyone's got a timer. I mean, now mine may be elongated, but it doesn't mean, you know, you stop living.
So the list will continue along with the movement they've inspired. Joe Fryer, NBC News, Gibsonburg, Ohio.
So Chris started his transplant process this week, and we want to wish him all the very best. That is Nightly News for this Thursday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching and good night.